Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Ayin Beis. We'll start with the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Just a thought from yesterday's daf that didn't get a chance to say over. We discussed that why were these parshios written in the Torah that could theoretically never have happened? Ben Sora Morer, Ir HaNidachas, Bais Menuga. So the common refrain was Drosh V'Kabel Schar, right? They're going to, we'll learn out Schar from it. So what is the Schar? So by the Ben Sora Morer, there's Rabbeinu Bechaya on the Chumash who writes, this is a very important idea that we can learn out from this. You see how far one's Avas Hashem has to extend. A little bit similar to the Akedah, that where Avnan allow Yitzchak to be shechted, but to show how far it extends. So too by the Ben Sora Morer, the parsha is written in the Torah, so we should see how far our Avas Hashem, what type of behavior that would mandate. Okay, so picking up with the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph and Beis. Ben Sora Morer, Nidon Hashem Sofa. So he's punished for what's going to be in the end, but not as to where he is now. That's going to be the common principle that's going to go through the next two cases that we're going to get to above Machteras today. Also, Nidon Hashem Sofa, but what's not what they've done right now, but what's going to happen in the end. So the mission says, Yom Zakai Val Yom Eschayev. It's better that this little boy die now while he's still innocent, he hasn't gone off the derech, he started hurting people. When Rishoyim are killed, so then it's a benefit for them and for the world. But tzaddikim, when tzaddikim leave the world, so it's ra lehen v'ra le'olam. So then they're not here anymore, it's bad because they can't do mitzvahs anymore, and it's bad for the world. So now, once it started talking about things that are bad, it continues and says, Yayin v'sheinil rishayim hana lehem v'hana le'olam. V'tzadikim ra lehem v'ra le'olam. So yayin v'sheina, wine and sleeping a lot is bad for rishayim. So Rav Shechter is fond of quoting from the Rav that one is supposed to be a bal das. We're supposed to use our intellects. We're supposed to be thinking people. And if a person is drinking or sleeping, he's not a baldas. You can't be thinking if you again talking about you're drinking too much, you're sleeping too much, you're not thinking. So that's why there's not a the Mishnah is very strong against drinking and sleeping, because it undermines the whole purpose why we are supposed to be here. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Pizul Rishoyim, when the Rishoyim are scattered around, so not together, Hanal Lehen v'Hanal Le'olam. So that's good, because they can't incite each other. But Tzadikim, but when Tzadikim are scattered, so Ra Lehen v'Ra Le'olam, it's bad for them. Kinus Rishoyim, Rishoyim get together, Ra Lehen v'Ra Le'olam, because then they incite each other, they work each other up. But tzaddikim, when tzaddikim come together, hana lehen v'hana le'olam, it's good for them. I'm reminded of a comment, a beautiful insight that I once heard in the name of Rabbi of Dr. Pelkovitz. So he said, we say in the Kapitel Tehillim, we're familiar with from Kabbalah Shabbos, tzaddik kitamar yifrach. So a tzaddik, right? The righteous one is like a tamar, like the date tree, the palm tree. So what's so unique about the tamar? So the tamar trees grows in clusters. They don't grow isolated by themselves. So it was explained the importance of surrounding yourselves by proper environments. Tzaddik ki tamar yifrach will be like the tamar, because they're not isolated together. That works very with our Mishnah. It says that the keenness of gathering together for tzaddik, it's hanal lehen v'hanal le'olam. It's good when tzaddik can come together, and it even enables a person to become a tzaddik, to have dibuk chaverim, that's an important yisod. Continues the Mishnah, sheket rishoyim ra lehen v'ra le'olam. When you have quietness, that's bad for Rishoyim, and it's bad for the world. But for Tzadikim, it is a good thing. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Haglili Oimer, V'chi Mipnei She'ocho Zeh Tartei Marbosa, V'shosa Chatzi Log Yayin, Ha'italki, Omer Tor Yotzer L'veiz Din, L'salkil. Right, again, the Tartei Mar meat, which is only a few ounces. I think they cheshbon it out, it's like 7 ounces of meat, not so much. So because he did this, and he drank these Italian wines, so his father's going to give him skila, Ella Hagiator Sov Daitur Shall Ben Sor Mora Shisov Megamir Nichse Aviv Mvakish Limudo. He's going to run out of resources, he's want to continue on this path that he's grown accustomed to, ain't a moitza, but he won't have any means of doing this. So therefore, yoitza lefrash es drachim, milastim es abrios, he's going to start robbing people, and he's going to need something to support his habit. Unfortunately, addiction works that way, that people do things they never would have thought that they would have done. Omer Torah, yomos zakayv al yomos chayiv, so the Torah says, it's better that the kid should die now, he's innocent, not when he's chayav. Shemi sasin shav reshoyim, hanal lehem, hanal la'olam. We just said, tzadikim ra lehem, ra la'olam. Sheina v'yayin reshoyim, hanal lehem, hanal la'olam. But tzadikim ra lehem, ra la'olam. Shekel reshoyim, ra lehem, ra la'olam. And tzadikim, hanal lehem, hanal la'olam. Okay, we did this already. Pizul reshoyim, hanal lehem, hanal la'olam. But tzadikim, ra lehem, ra la'olam. So, before just finishing off this whole discussion of the Ben Sarmor and this addiction, so there's an important tshuva from Reb Moshe. We've done this tshuva over the years. It's Tuf Shin Lamed Gimel, which would be 1973. Reb Moshe has a tshuva about smoking marijuana. And he quotes, he relates it to the Ben Sarmor. He says, Hine Bedavar, this is found in Yoredeya. Where is this? This is Gimel. Tshuva is Simon Lamed Hei. Hine Bedavar Sher Hischilu Eze Bochim in a Yeshiva Li Ashin Chashish Marijuana. So the Bochim started smoking marijuana. Poshit Shehudavar Osir Mikama Ikore Dinim Shebetorah. It's simple that this is obvious. It's simply obvious it's prohibited for many reasons. He goes through a whole bunch of them. Chada, first of all, Shehu Mekalkel Machles Aguf. You ruin and you harm your body by doing this. It's harmful for the body. Va'af inimsu anoshim b'riim shlomazik lehem kolkach. And you'll find some people that could smoke marijuana and it doesn't bother them, it doesn't affect the body so much. A makalkil who es hadas, it hurts their brain. Ve'ein yechom lahavin dover v'ashuro, you can't think straight. Shezeh od yoser chomer milavad shemoneh atzmo milimud ha-Torah. They're smoking, it hurts your ability to think straight. Right, kiroi hu mania gam mitzafilu mitzvah satorah she'aso she'asiyah belodas haroi hu kilo kayam. It also prevents a person being mekayim mitzvahs. Just I'm thinking about the stories they tell over from the Rosh Hashiva, Mir Rosh Hashiva of Nosson Svi Zatzal, that although when he was suffering through Parkinson's, he didn't want to take certain medications because it would impair his ability to think straight. And here you see Reb Moshe's tshuva that. That when a person takes drugs that affect them, that would be osur. Va'od shehu goreim taiva gedola shehu yoyse mitaiva sachila v'chidoyme shetzrichim ha'adam liyichosov yesh lo yochul litzamtein l'havir tavosam. It creates a taiva in a person even stronger than the desire. I mean, he's saying an addiction stronger than the desire even to eat food. V'hu iser chomer shneemar beben soramor al taiva yoyse gedola sheyesh lo achila af shehu achilas kashrus. Right? So he connects marijuana to the Ben Soramora. The person creates taivas themselves. And over there by the Ben Soramora, the food was kosher. The wine was kosher. The kol shekin she'osu l'havi atzmon l'taiva gedola od yosu l'davar she'lecha shum tzorech l'adam bazeh hu osur. So he goes on and gives other reasons as well, kibud ave'im and other factors. But I think the key point from the tshuva is that Reb Moshe links any form of addictive behavior, i.e. smoking pot, or any one of these behaviors, he connects it to the Ben Sarmor that we just learned over the last few days, all these dapim describing how horrible is this type of addictive behavior. And Reb Moshe takes a stand on this as well. And just to clarify, I was only comparing in my mind the idea about Reb Nosson Tzvi Zatzal's refusal to take it because it would hurt his thinking ability. But one thing though is that there would have been isser in that case of taking the medicine for the Parkinson's. But Reb Moshe writes by the person who's doing marijuana, then for sure it's osir. Okay, now we begin the new sugya of Habab Machteris. Parsh based on psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. Here we go. Bob Machteres Nidon Hashem Sofo. So again, just like the Ben Soramora was punished for what was going to happen, now they already did. So to hear the person who is the burglar who's breaking in, he's allowed to be killed. So Hay Bob Machteres for Shavras Achavis. If when he was breaking into the house, he broke a barrel. So it depends what type of thief he is. Im Yeshlo Domim, he's Chayev. So if he's the type of thief that has blood. What does that mean? So the type of thief would be someone who was robbing the home, but he would never harm the homeowner. He wouldn't do that to the... he would never kill him. So the owner's life is never in danger, so the owner never has a hetzer to kill him. Im ein lo domim, but if this person could be killed because he would have, you know, come to kill the homeowner himself, so then potter. In this case, then he doesn't have to pay for that. So this is touching upon the rule of kim le b'drava mine, that if a person does one action that has two punishments simultaneously, in other words, if he does one action simultaneously has two punishments, we only give the more stricter punishment, and the other one is not enforced. So, Lamashal, let's say a person takes out a gun and shoots somebody. So he kills him. So not only did he kill, not only did Reuven kill Shimon, but as the bullet went into Shimon's shirt, it caused a blood stain. Now he has a dry cleaning bill to buy the guy a new shirt. So because Reuven's now Chayav Misa for killing Shimon, so he's only going to need Chayav Misa, and he does not have to pay the Tashlumen for the Nezek for the shirt that he damaged, because that's one action that resulted in two punishments simultaneously. Okay, so now the Gemara starts like this. Omer Rava, my time of Machteres, what's the reason? Chazaka ain't on a mamid atzma mamono, right? So we have an assumption that the homeowner is not going to be able to hold himself back when he sees this person robbing him. Now, if you got robbed, you were never going to see your money again. And it wasn't life insurance, it wasn't home insurance. I mean, you can get a claim and get your money back. If you're stealing my life savings, I'm not going to get it back. I'm going to do everything I can to stop you. The homeowner will do everything possible to stop the burglar. Fahai Meimar Amar. And this guy, the burglar who's breaking in, he knows to him. He says to himself, Iazilno Kaila Apai Velo Shavikli. If I go in, he's not going to just let me take this. So I've Ikoila Apai Katlinale. So therefore, I know that since he's not going to let me out, I'm going to have to kill him. So the burglar is coming, Almanas Cain. The burglar is coming into the house, knowing that if he needs to, he will kill the homeowner in order to rob him. So the Torah Omron, the Torah says, Imbo lahargach, hashkim lahargoy. So you should kill him first. See, we don't believe in just, you know, turning the other cheek. No, if someone's coming to kill you, you do a preemptive strike, and you kill them before they kill you. Okay. Omer Rav, right? Actually, the Meiri says in this, you know, where is it? He says Omer Torah. Where is the source for that? Im bo laharga, hashkim laharga. So, the Meiri says it's based on in Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Matas, where Moshe says to Tzuras Hamidyonim, right? They're coming against us, so we have to be proactive and go against them first. Okay, Vayitin the Gemara. Omer Rav, habav machteres v'noto kelim v'yotza potter. So Rav says a chiddush now. Not that you broke anything, but you took something out. You went into the house to rob, and not to kelim. You took something, right? And you caught, so you're potter for paying back. So what's the reason? My timer. According to Rav, why doesn't the thief have to pay for the object he's holding onto right now? Bedomim konanu. Because he was kone it through his dam. Meaning, he risked his life. Even though he didn't get killed, he could have gotten killed. There was a heter for the Baal HaBayis to kill him. So since the potential for getting killed was there, we apply, according to the Rav, the rule of Kim Le B'Rav Mine, and therefore he's potter, even though he still holds the object. So Amar Rava Mistabra Milsa D'Rav Kipishashiver. No. It must be that when Rav said this, it's not that it was natal, that he was just holding on to it, he took it away. It must be that he broke it. The Leisnehu, because it's no longer in existence, right? Aval natal, but if he just took the object and he's holding on to it, lo, the Rav wouldn't say you're putter in that case. No, Elohim, like a Lashon of Shemua, Amar Rav, afilu natal. Rav says, even if he just took it, dahai yesh lo damim, right? Because in the case of yesh lo damim, Venensu chayev, and then if he would have gotten an onus happened, he'd be chayev to pay back for it. So Alma, you see from the fact is chayev atashlumen, but reshuse kaime, it really is in his possession, meaning he was kone it. So this is one of the sources for the Achronim discuss this idea of a kinyani gazela, the goslin he stole, but he has a kinyan on it. So hachanami b'reshus kaimi. So to here, we're putting it in the reshus of the thief, the one who was Baba Machteres, so it's his. Velohi. Rav says, no, you can't bring a raya from this. Kiyok min harachmana b'reshus, say when the Torah says the guy it's in his reshus, that's only inyan onsin. That's only for an onus happens to it. About inyan mikna b'reshus demarehu kaime. No, he has a responsibility like a shoel, right? So again, that's what I was about to say. Midi d'havi ha-shoel. It's like the same case of a shoel, meaning there's two splits here. He doesn't own it. He just has a patur for onsin on it, right? That's the difference of it, right? But even though like if you're a shoel, so if there was an onus that happened to it, then he'd have to pay for it, but it doesn't become his property. Right, so therefore, so to hear, it does not become the property of the thief. Tanan, okay, so that's the kash. This is the whole part of kash on Rav. Bob machteres v'shibres achovis yesh ladamim chayev ein lo damim potter. So if he broke into the house and he was the type of thief that was a yesh ladamim, meaning he wasn't going to kill the owner. The classic case is when a father is coming to rob his son. So even though the father is not nice for burglarizing his son, he would never kill his son. So therefore, he there's no hetter to kill in that case of yesh lo damim. However, ein lo damim when the thief would kill. So we just saw that since the thief could be killed, he's like a dead man walking. He has no damim, so he's potter for the tashlumin. So taima, the diak is like this: taima de shiver. The case is because he broke it, right? Dechi ein lo damim potter. But ha notol, but if he would have just been taking it, then he would not be potter, right? The only patur was by shiver. So this is against what Rav said. Rav said no, notol is exempt from paying it. So hu hadin afilu notol nami. No, really, really, he'd be potter even if he just was notol. He just took the kli out of the house. Ay v'hadikatani shiver es chovis. So then taka, why did the Mishnah say in such a way that he broke the chovis? So kamash milan the chiddush is to say like this: dechi yesh lo damin. In a case, though, where a person has dam, afagad the shiver, even though he broke it, right, and it's no longer there, nami chayev, he would still have to pay for it. So it says, pshit the mazik, the guy is an adam hamazik, of course he has to pay. So, hakamash malan, dafilu shloba kavana. No, the chiddush is when even he did it without kavana, it was unintentional. So says, one second, that's also obvious. My kamash malan, adam muad loilam, right, the famous sugya in Bavakama, that a person is always always responsible for their actions. Adamu l'olam. Today that we learned, Adamu l'olam. Person's always responsible. Bein shogeg, bein mezid. Whether it was on accident or when it was on purpose. Bein ba'onis, bein ba'ratzon. Right? So whether it was, onus, something beyond his control, whether it was willingly. So when it says, yeah, kasha. This is really, it's a kasha on Rav. Again, we said many times, a kasha means that it's difficult, but it doesn't mean that he necessarily retracts. Right, Tayufta is where he gets they slug him up, but it's a kasha. Okay, most of a baby barabai. So now there's a kasha on Rava. Hagonev kis b'Shabbos chayev. If a person would steal a person someone's wallet on Shabbos, then you're chayev to pay for it. Right, she hare nischay b'geneva kodem shavu day iser Shabbos, because he picked it up inside the person's house and he stole it. And then he was chayav when he takes it outside of the house. That's the hotzah. So the two chiyuvim did not set in at the same time. So we're not going to say kim le b'drabim mineh. Again, kim le b'drabim is only when it happened simultaneous. Here, the guy is walking around. He picks up the wallet, his purse, whatever it is, his money pouch. He has his kiss, and he steals it. Then 2 minutes later, he takes the bag outside. At that point, the chiyuv misa sets in, right? So and the Gemara continues on, says like this, the Braisa. Hayam megarir v'yotze potter. If the guy was dragging it along the floor, I mean, he never picked it up. He's like sliding along with his foot along the floor. And then he takes it outside. At that point, the two chiyuvim did sit at the same time because he was koneh with a shinui rishus. And by taking it from the rishus hayochid into rishus harabim, that's the point in time now where he did the hotzah. Because they both set in at the same time. So now, this is the whole kasha on Rava, because Rava held that if you stole, there's a chiyuv tashlum, and here you see you are potter from that. right? So Hilchasa, no, the case really, the Bryce is talking about De Shedarihu Binahara. He threw it into a Nahar, he threw it into a river. So now the Walt is no longer around. That's why he's Potter from having it. But you're right, if it wasn't thrown into a river, then Inachinami, then the thief would have to return it. So now I have a Maisa. It says like this. Rava igav hule dichre b'mach tarto. So they once stole some rams from Rava's house. And then the burglars came. Ahad rinhu nihale, right? They wanted to return it back to them. V'lo kablinhu. But Rava wouldn't take them back. Omri said, hoyo v'nafim mipume de Rav. Since Rav, who said this psak, even though it's against mine, I'm going to follow what my Rebbe said, what Rav said, and I'm not going to accept it back. So Tosfos asks a question. Bottom Tosfos says, lucky me hoyo nafik me pun de Rav. Tema, amazed by this. Ha mechayel tzeis yidei shemayim. So you're right. Meikar didn't have to do, but at least they should be yotzei yidei shemayim, right? In Hakones, we know the different cases where the Gemara discusses where there's different levels of chiyuv, and there's things that Beis Din in this world can't force you to do, but Beis Din in shemayim could do it. So they wanted to be yotzei yidei shemayim, so they wanted to return it, even if Meikar didn't have to. So why didn't Rav let them do it, right? Kid amar pirak apolim gabi achosim para v'dashbo. Also, the Torah filu bo al imokay esnazot yesh lomar dekan lo hayu rotzim lahachmir el imkein yis chayvu bidine adam. No, here the Gnavim were mistaken. They really themselves did not want to return the rams. The only reason they were bringing back to Rav because they felt that they were mechuyev to do so, but they weren't sincere. Since they're not sincere, explains Tosus, then Rav has no intention in taking back his property. Okay, now Tan Rabbanan Ein Lo Damim Im Zarcha Shemesh Alav. So there's a machlokes in the Mefarshim on the Chumash. How do you learn this Im Zarcha Shemesh Alav? Is it literal that the thief came during the daytime, or is it no that it's like it's a metaphor? It's clear as day that this guy was not coming to steal. But in any case, it's a case of Ein Lo Damim Im Zarcha Shemesh Alav. What, the sun only shines on this gun? Ella, no. If it's clear to you, clear as the day, that the guy is not coming in peace, then you can kill him. But if not, then you're not sure what he's in, then you shouldn't kill him. Tanya Idech, have a different price. And the sun shines in, and he does have dam. He is a living person. You can't kill him. What, the sun only shines on him? Ella, no, like this. If it's clear the guy is coming in peace, that he's not going to harm you, then you don't kill him. But if you're not sure, hargehu, right? So then you should kill him. So 1 second. Kasha stama stama. The diuk is the exact opposite. The first way was that if you're not sure, don't kill him. And now we're learning if you're not sure, you do kill him. When it says lokasha, right? Now in Amud Beis, kan va'av lebein, kan va'bein ha'av. Wow. So the difference is who's coming to kill who? The father has a greater rachmonis on his son, right? And wouldn't do it. That's why the son, meaning if the father's robbing, he would never come to kill, so the son can't do that. But the other way, the son, ouch, would, if necessary, fight his father. The father would resist, except for the father would have had to kill the son. There is an interesting Chasam Sofer that Rav Wolfson quotes many times, that even if the child didn't know that it was the father, he wouldn't be able to do it. The hashkacha would work out in such a way he wouldn't be able to harm him, even if he doesn't know the identity. We're assuming the way the Gemara is learning now that ben halav and av halaben, that each one knows the other's identity. Rav Olson quoted from the Chasam Sofer that even if they didn't know the identity, the hashkacha would work out that he wouldn't be able to kill him because it's built into the fabric of a parent that he would never harm his child, even unintentionally. Okay, Omer Rav, kol da'asi alai b'machtarta, anybody who come to me in a machteris, in a tunnel, kalenale, I would kill him. Levar, except me Rav Chanina Bar Shela. Except for Rav Chanina Bar Shela, my time, what's the reason? Se'ilim shum de tzadik, who, if you can tell me such a big tzadik, so one second, miman of shach, such a big tzadik, haka osib machatarta. So why is he doing breaking into someone's house? El, it must be like this. Mishum de kinli begavei de merachim like rachim av al habein. No, because I know that he would have rachmonos on me just like a father would have on a son. So I know that he would never ever harm me. So any other bab machteres I would kill, but I would not do that for Rav Chanina Bar Shela. Tanu rabbanon domim lo. So he has dam. The Gemara in the Brisa says like this: bein bechol, bein b'shabbos. Whether it's on a weekday or whether it's on Shabbos. Ain't lo dam, the guy doesn't have dam, he's going to get killed. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. Right? We do it both on the weekday and on Shabbos. So bishlema, I understand. Ain't lo dam, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. So itzrich, you have to teach me this. Because salta daikamina, midid havi aharugi beizdin. You would have thought that this has the same status like a haruge beizdin to b'shabbos lo katlinon, because we don't do it on Shabbos. So kamash malan to katlinon. So that's the chiddush over here to tell me that you would think you couldn't kill on Shabbos. The chiddush is no, you could go ahead and kill him if it's in self defense. You could kill him on Shabbos. El adomim lo, but in the case where the guy has dam, so bein b'chol bein b'shabbos hash b'chol lo katlinon le b'shabbos miboy. Right? If you're not going to kill him on a weekday, so then what's necessary to tell me you're not going to kill him on Shabbos? That's obvious. So Amar of Sheishis, lo nitzuch el afakech alav es hagal. No, it's a chiddush to tell me that there was a pile of stones on him, right? So then, if it's a case of yesh lo damim, right? The guy had damim lo, right? He has dam, so then you could do whatever you need to in order to save his life, right? But you would have thought excuse me. You would have thought that even you could say that even involves Chil Shabbos, so we don't do that. In other words, we don't say that you're not allowed to kill him, but you're not obligated to save him. Excuse me. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Vehuka, Bechol Adam. So you can kill him, anybody can kill him. Vameis, Bechol Misa Sha'ata, Yochel Hamiso. And you can do it by any type of death penalty possible. Bishlema Vehuka, Bechol Adam. I understand why it said hookah, he's hit, he's struck, right? But anyone can do this. Itzrich. That was needed to teach me. I think. Bal habayis hudikim lahu, right? It's only the Bal habayis who's allowed to do this. The ain't adamayim in atzma al-mamono, because he can't hold back when his property is getting killed. Aval acher lo. But for somebody else, you would have thought that they're not. So for that's the chiddush to tell me that anybody could, bechol adam, anybody else could also kill the guy who's breaking in. So kamash malan, the rodefu. So the chiddush is that this guy is a rodef, and therefore anybody could do it. Right? Afila achinami. So what's the chiddush by telling me that the mace that you could kill him by any means necessary, by any means possible? So may rotzeach nafka. Right, we can learn this out from the case of a rotzeach. The Tanya, most yumas amak rotzeachu. So you certainly kill him because he's a murderer. Ain li el misa hamurabo. All I know is that you can give him. Which is saif, right? Uminayin sheim I atayoch lahamiso b'misa k'suva bo. If you can't give him saif, sha'ata roshay lahamiso b'chol misa sha'ata yoch lahamiso. How do I know he give him any other type? Tamalomer most yumas, like the double expression of that, right? He will, certainly, definitely put to death. So mikol makom, right? The double verb teaches about any type of that. So then, the question is, why can't you learn out from the Baal Machteres, in this case, the Rotzeach? No, shiny hossam, you can't. Dovakra, most you must. It says by that, but it doesn't necessarily say that by, it only says by the Rotzeach, it doesn't say most you must by the Baal Machteres. So, nigma minei. So, one second, why can't you learn it out from there? Vishum dahavi Rotzeach, v'gol hadam, shnei kesuv maboyin ke'echod. You have these two psukim, they're coming to teach me the exact same thing. So the rule is like this, that if you have something that's written in one place in the Torah, you might think that it would extend to all other cases as well. But once I had the exact same halacha written in a second place, so I didn't need it to be written in the second place if it would have applied all over. So it must be when the Torah writes the same halacha in two different places. That's the concept called shnei kesuvim, right? Havon ke'echa, two different places tell me the exact same thing. So it must be limited to only those two cases, and therefore I can't use it like as a binyanav to learn to other cases as well. So that's why the Brice had to come along and tell me the halacha that in fact does apply to the case of the Bava Machteres. Tan Rabbanon Machteres. This is talking about you breaking in. It's like tunneling in. Eini el Machteres. Maybe it's only limited to the case of where he's tunneling. Gago, if he's on his roof. Chatzir is like his yard. Karfefo is like a side area that's enclosed by the house. Minayin, how do you know that any one of these other places he's coming in? Talmud Omer Yimotze Haganav Mikol Makom. Wherever you find the Ganav, you could do this. Im Kain, so that's true. It applies anywhere. Ma Talmud Omer Machteres. So then, what's the reason why it says Machteres? Bipnei Shirov Ganav Metsuyim BeMachteres. Because that's the typical way that the Ganavim break in. They tunneling in. Just agav is a thought. They say that most robberies occur during the day because the people are usually not in the home and they're not looking for a confrontation. So they just want to get in and out as quickly as possible. So that's usually when most robberies occur. But in Machteres, so they had a case. I don't know. I don't want to scare anybody. It was like a PSE&G worker. And they were fake. They weren't the real deal, but they had all the outfit on, and they would look like they were doing work on the side of a person's house. Yeah, the guy was a gun. If he was breaking into the house, he was drilling a hole in the side of the house. He went around and took things. The people didn't look. They had all the levushim on, and it looked like it. But that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Rov ganavim mitzuyim b'machteres. The most way they break in. They don't go through the roof or through the side or anything like that. Okay. Tanya Idach. We have a different braisa. Machteres eini el machteres. Right? All I know, it's in the tunneling itself. Gago, Chatzir, Cafe for Minayin. How do I know any one of these other locations? Tamalomer, Yimotzi Haganav Mikol Mokom. Anywhere that the Ganav is found. Imkein, Ma Tamalomer, Machteres. Machtarto, Zohi, Hasroso. No, the tunneling in is his Hasra. So therefore, you don't have to give him any other type of Hasra, right? But if he was found anywhere else, then you had to give him a hasra. So that's the chiddush of Bava Machteres, that the tunneling is, as machtarto, by tunneling in, zuhi hasra. So, Omrav Huna, katan haroidev nitan lahatzil benafsho. So now we start talking about, this is going to get into a little bit of an abortion sugya. If you have a katan haroidev, right, a small child, you're allowed to kill him. Kasavar, so you see from here, roidev ain't tzarech hasra, lo shna gadol, lo shna katan. That there's no difference into whether he is an adult or whether he is a child. Right? What's the svar behind this? Because the whole point is the hatsala of the nirdaf. We have to save him. So it doesn't matter whether the person chasing him is 20 years old, the person chasing him is 10 years old. A little kid with a gun, with a knife, could kill somebody. So according to Rav Huna, you're allowed to kill them, right? Eisve, Rav Chisda asked the kasha. Eisve, Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, yotze rosho, einogim bo, lefish, ein doich nefesh, mipnei nefesh. So this is a case, it's a mission in Olos, that if there's a difficulties in the pregnancy, so once the head has come out, Yotze Rosho, once the baby's head has come out, then at that point you're not allowed to, kill the baby anymore. Rashi says about the five lines, six lines where it's wide, Yotze Rosho, Beisha Hamakshalele Umesukenes. A woman who's having difficulty giving birth and she's in a sakana. Right? Viktani Rashi. So the first part of the Mishnah said, Hachayet Hoshetes Yada Vahosach To Umotsioso Leivarim. So the midwife really, it's graphic, but it cuts up the baby while it's still in the stomach and then pulls it out limb by limb. Decholzman Shal Yotze La'avir La'olam Lav Nefeshu. So that's a key line in Rashi. Before the baby has come out of the world, it's not a nefesh. Venitan lahorgo lahatzil es imo. And at that point, since it's lav nefesh, who you're allowed to kill the baby in order to save the mommy. Aval yotze rosha, but once the baby's head has come out, which is where our Gemara is quoting from, eino gimbo lahargo, you cannot touch the baby and kill it. The havile ki yolud, it's like a child. Ve'ein doich nefesh mipnei nefesh. And you can't take one life over another. So Rashi is Bekias in Tanakh says, Ve'im tom, you ask me a kasha. Maisid Sheva ben Bichri, from the story with Sheva ben Bichri. So the case was where he was surrounded, he was Mori b'malchus, and they surrounded the city where he was in, and they said, give him out. So the people, yeah, okay, we'll give him out, because they were going to die if they didn't give him over. Hine rosho mushlach eilecha. Here it is, we're sending his head out. Right? So don't you see from here, this case in Shmuel Beis, where the people, in order to save their own skin, they killed Sheva ben Bichri. So what's the rule? You see from here that you can, or maybe they did, kill somebody else to save their own life. No, says Rashi, it's not comparable. Hos mishum dafilu lo masruhu lo hayneh rag beir kishe yispisena. Right? Yoav meinargin imo. I mean, Yoav was, David's general was surrounding the city anyway. So it wasn't a question of they're going to die, they're not going to die. If they gave him up, they were going to, if they didn't give him up, they were going to die, they were going to die anyway. Right? Elaim hayahu nitzol afal pi shehu neharagin lo haya reshoyin. But if they were not going to die, right, and they're doing this to save themselves, then they wouldn't have been allowed to. L'mosu k'ri l'hatzi l'atzim. You can't give over somebody else's life. But here, they were going to die anyway. In other words, they didn't give him up to save the lives. Inami, a second teretz as to how they could do this, mishum demor b'malchus hava, because Sheva ben Bichri was rebelled against David, so he was chayv misa. He was more b'malchus. V'hochi mefarish lo b'tosefta. That's how the Tosefta learns out. So again, Rashi gives two reasons as to why the case of Sheva ben Bichri was not a kasha, but the rule is that our Gemara says you cannot push aside one life to save another one. So that's the whole kasha. How could you do this? So Mora asks now, speaks out, Amai, why not? Why can't I kill the baby? If you, Rav Huna, are right that a katan harodef is allowed to be killed, so this baby is a katan harodef, right? Amai, why can't I kill the baby once it's come out? Rodefu, no, shiny hosam dimishmaya karad fila. No, it's a different, because there the fetus isn't really acting on its own. What's happening is that minashamayim they are rodef her. I mean, this is really beyond the control. This is like the baby's just like being a tool, so to speak, to attack the mother's life. But you'd not be allowed to kill him. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss in the sugya of abortion, but Matt's, maybe we'll pick it up from here, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow.